I said the king's in the building.
Coming to you live from the CBS Sports Radio 650 studio in Houston, Texas. Here are the Sports Kings, Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting edition of Sports King Saturday here on CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m. My name is Chris Demez, and I'm here with the usual suspects, Diamond Dave and Super Mario. What's going on, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Coming in with that fire today, I see, Chris.
I mean, you know what? So much has happened in the city of Houston. I knew my Astros could do it. I knew my Astros could pull it off.
We're
winning the World Series, guys. We're going to it. Now, you know, I'm a Dodgers fan. Oh, I'm not really a Dodgers fan. I just anti-Astros. But, yeah, I mean, guys, so much has happened. I saw game one, and I was like, I knew it. Yo-Yo Team was happening again. Mm-mm. I saw it. Also, I'm sorry for not introducing Mean Gene. We have also Mean Gene on the line with us.
joining us. It's coming in hot.
Yeah, I know. What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up, guys? What's up, Gene? So, calling in today, and also, Chris, that's not the only thing that's going on today, too, because there's a lot of news coming out the Texans as well. And you know what I'm saying? Like
this just in.
Yeah, we got all this stuff going on, like, you know, that's good, but also, you know, we got some negative news that's going out, and it really took control yesterday, too.
Who's trying to be a negative Nancy right now?
I mean, it's really not out of our control, though, really.
Yeah, guys,
we have a really good show today. And of course, we got to get into that Astros, Gene. So it's coming off the back. You know, we had a really strong game yesterday. Yu Darvish didn't really, you know, do what he was supposed to do. And honestly, that kind of worked out in our favor, of course. But what did you see yesterday coming from the Dodgers?
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I think the Dodgers got themselves in somewhat of a bind. You know, bringing Yu Darvish back to Texas, I think he got a little bit of the curse. I think some of the Rangers fans probably drove down there and gave him a little static, but
no,
the Dodgers, the Dodgers really need to,
Dodge.
You know, they got to get it together. I mean, I think pitching, you know, you never thought you would hear, you know, pitching would be getting them in trouble, but I mean, Dave Roberts is having to go to the bullpen and all of these pitching changes, and kind of reminds me of what Tommy Lasorda used to do. I mean, he would get to that bullpen, even if it took three pitchers to get one out, he would do it. But I saw a little desperation on Dave Roberts, and hopefully, you know, their pitching can get better. I mean, because that's what's happening.
And it's really weird to see the Dodgers as a desperate team because, of course, in game two, they go with nine pitchers in game two. And in game three, it wasn't, you know, any better, of course, because, I mean, they did still use six. But still, you kind of have to think that, you know, later in the series, they're going to have to suffer just a little bit if they're using so many people because yesterday the Astros only went with two. And honestly, we're kind of laid back a little bit, right?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think so anyway. I think we're going playing safe. We're here. We have the home team advantage, which I don't think
home field.
You don't think that works?
Is that a thing?
I mean, of course, it is.
Because we went to LA and we kicked their butts.
I know, but you know what? Like
they were screaming.
That game too, Chris. Like that was something of catastrophic proportions. Like that's something that you only see in a book, or you know, honestly, that's something that we'll probably read in a comic book rather than actually happening.
Yeah. It was like a movie script. You can't write it. You can't write it any better.
This whole ordeal is a movie script.
And it's just, that's why I tell people, when people ask me, you know, oh, when it comes to sports, you know, what's your most favorite playoffs or what's your favorite championship? And, you know, for me, it's the World Series because there's nothing like World Series baseball because you never know what's going to happen.
The hot dogs, the
that's
peanuts.
True.
And especially, I mean, all those home runs that kind of happen in the extra innings because I felt like a lot of people, even me, like, I left like right around the ninth inning when we were kind of up by two. Then all of a sudden, you know, I went to where I was going and all of a sudden I look at the score and it's tied back up again. And honestly, and the first thing that popped in my head, Chris, with the yo-yo team.
It was definitely in full effect.
Yeah, every time, definitely. That's the thing that pops in my head, and I was like, yo-yo team.
Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah. And then the fact that, you know, they battle back, but that's what the Astros been so good at so far is that, I mean, not just, you know, making connection on the batting, but, man, like, when they show
up. They've been doing it all year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been doing that all year. And here's the thing, guys. I mean, you know, that game, too, that's what you want to see. I mean, you know, you don't want to see – I mean, this is a good series, and this is what we said, and this is what I told you we were going to get. You got the best two teams in baseball. I know a lot of people might argue, you know, Cleveland and New York, but when you just look at these two teams were the storylines of baseball all year. And I tell you what, people getting their money's worth, and by the price of those tickets down there, guys, I would say $1,000.
Whoa!
$1,000 for a World Series game. Man, that was
$99. That was
That's crazy.
I just want to say, Dean, you said the Yankees and Cleveland are the best teams. Well, they ain't here, are they, Mario? That's right.
I
don't feel anything. You know what I mean? Because champions don't listen to losers. So it's okay. When you actually get a first ring and you join the club, then you can talk about
it. When was your ring again? 8 years ago? I don't know. I'm just saying right now.
But real quick, Mario, since we are talking about New York, how do you feel about them letting go Girardi and kind of that just happening?
Crazy.
It's not crazy. It's not crazy. So? No, because everyone knew it was coming. You know, he's been the skipper there for 10 years, 10 seasons. He's been the skipper there. You know, he has one championship underneath his belt. And time again, he's always talking about his kids and his family, and he wants to spend more time with his family and kids. So I see that. And also, after this year, you can see Brian Cashman and him weren't eye to eye on many things anymore. And you can definitely tell the Yankees are trying to move to the new form of baseball, which is more analytical. And Joe Girardi is more of an old school type of guy that's going to go with his gut.
Yeah.
And you know what? And I didn't think that he has.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, he was just playing not too long ago, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of felt that he would be in this new swing of thinking,
You would think. But, you know, remember, he's came under that, you know, he came under Joe Torre, you know, that core four when baseball was different, you know? The Yankees won three championships winning it with that type of formula.
See, Mario, I understand that, but I mean, look at some of these other old skippers. I mean, look at A.J. Hinch. I mean, he's not a spring chicken there. I mean, So I really don't get it. He's able to take those young Astro players and still play that kind of ball. And even Dave Roberts, I mean, he's not too far removed from that. So that really shocked me, especially when you got a young team that's rallying around. I mean, look at Joe Madden. I mean, come on. That really shocked me.
I honestly don't think he had the love for it anymore. You know, like I think he just wants to retire and spend time with his kids. You know, and when it comes down to it, too, everybody knows. You know, Joe Girardi wasn't the greatest coach of all. You know what I mean? Because coaching for the Yankees is no hard. You know, it's no easy feat. You know, there are not many teams in the league where the first thing when you come back from the offseason, the first thing on your record board is win a World Series. There's nothing else. What I mean? There's not many teams have that type of pressure coming in. And I have to say, him playing there, he knew it. He got into it. But even, you know, since he took over as a skipper, we've questioned Joe Girardi many times. I know I have as a Yankee fan.
Skipper, is that a thing? Is that a term?
The skipper is the captain. You know, the skipper, he runs the team, you know, like a captain runs a ship.
Like Gilligan's Island.
Exactly.
Gilligan's Island.
Something like that, Chris.
The thing that really kind of got me is that he kind of, to me at least, when you look at it on paper, he overperformed though this year. And to me,
I think so.
Yeah, no one expected the Yankees to be where they were going to be this season. I know.
Even though he doesn't kind of get that, you know, analytical aspect, he kind of more goes with his gut and everything. Like, you kind of think that, you know, maybe they'll give him another chance. But to me, this is more as if something happened either in-house or maybe this is ultimately was his decision.
I think it was his decision. I think it was his decision, and I'm okay with it. And I just hope the Yankees promote within house. Like, I love Tony Peña, the third baseman coach. I love Tony Peña. His resume is impeccable. He's, you know, taken to the Dominican team, you know, two times to the World Baseball Classic, winning it one time, you know, and he knows how to manage superstars. You know, he's played in both National and American League. So when it comes down to the playoffs, learning how to play small ball, little things like that, I love the way he coaches. I love the way he's very aggressive on the base pads, and I love it, especially with this young team.
Well, what do you guys think of the Astros? Dave, you had mentioned they were a different team in game two. They were different. Kershaw did some stuff. And how do you feel about that? Like, what did they do differently?
I mean, of course, I think it was kind of unfair for them to go against Kershaw, though, because, I mean, they wanted to be more aggressive than they were at New York because, of course, we saw the score totals. You know, at New York, they wasn't really putting the runs in towards the end. But whenever you're facing Kershaw for the first time, it's just like, what do you do if you're trying to be aggressive? Because you never faced this guy before, and especially when he's, you know, is known as one of the best pitchers in the game.
And honestly speaking, his stuff was so nasty that night.
This is disgusting.
And he was on. Yeah. And I'm not going to lie, that umpire let him really live below in that low strike zone. He let him live there.
Yeah.
And they were. But the only thing that got me angry about it, he wasn't calling it for Keuchel. He wasn't calling it for Keuchel, but he was calling it. He was calling it for him, and I was, you know, for the Dodger, for Crenshaw, and I was like, you know, I don't mind that. If you're going to be fair, you know. But when the man's on,
yeah,
like
the strike,
that,
the strike zone is quite interesting these days. I mean, I know baseball is trying to do, you know, everything they can. They're sort of moving to football. I mean, we haven't really seen any like delays where they had to go and look at the film or challenges or what have you. I mean, this has been a pretty clean calling game, I think, or series. But some of the strikes, though, you question some of it.
The fact that they even have a box there whenever you're watching the game, I think that's the real thing wherever we really get aggravated, because us as a consumer, we're watching it, and it clearly can be not in that square, but just because of the fact that either touches it or even in it, it makes us go crazy.
And that's for TV, because if you're watching it, I mean, come on. Because how many folks have you heard say, man, baseball is boring?
Yeah.
I give it to them. They have tried to do whatever they could to make it, you know, easy on the TV viewer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, big things are discussed here on the Sports Kings. You're just getting started. You're listening to Sports Kings here on CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m. Chris, Dave, Mario, and Mean Gene joining us on the phone. We'll be back after these messages. Gentlemen, welcome back to another exciting edition of Sports King Saturdays here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, who are you going to call, you guys?
Sports Kings.
Sports Kings, there you go. My name is Chris DeMez, and I'm here with the guys, the Sports Kings, Diamond Dave and Super Mario, and we have Mean Gene joining us via telephone.
Yo.
It's been such a... You know what? It feels so delicious what's outside, up? Gene. I wish you were here right now, because it feels delicious outside.
What's delicious? Because it's 50... What, 7 degrees?
I like where I can wear my UGG boots and drink my latte. I like to wear my UGG boots. Okay?
I know you're not complaining about some cold. 57 degrees, you Southerners, I swear.
I mean, it feels beautiful outside. But Mario, getting back to the sports. We got some scores.
All right,
we got
some college scoreboard updates. We have Penn State ahead of Ohio State, 28-17. We got Georgia ahead of Florida, 21-0. We got TCU down to Iowa State, 14-0.
Oh, wow.
NC State down to Notre Dame, 21-14. UCLA behind them Washington Huskies, 29.
Catch up.
Michigan State, Northwestern tie, 10-10.
Oh.
Yeah. Our U of H Cougars got to pick it up. Come on, go Cougars. Down 0-7 to South Florida, Wisconsin, and Illinois. You don't have to worry about it because Wisconsin won 24-10.
Oh, Wisconsin? Wow. Nobody goes to Wisconsin. getting back to the baseball, you guys. It's big night today. We're having game four here in Houston, Texas. The Astros versus the LA Dodgers. Excuse me, I'm still on that right now.
There you go.
Last night's game was incredible, you guys. Let's talk about that.
You know what? The thing that's really impressed me every game of every other game is Gary Pettis, the third base coach of the Astros, because every time you have him signaling someone to come home, they're coming home.
Yep.
And that just adds to the aggressiveness of the Astros.
Yep.
Because honestly, we leave so many people on base. Last game, we left 12 guys on base. So that just goes to show you how much that we do have to show that aggression, just because, I mean, we don't know whenever we are going to score, because that's how we score in bunches, though, because we can send them home.
That is the key to Astro baseball, is consecutive hits, being consistent on the base pads, being consistent, you know, like controlled aggression getting on the base pads. But what impressed me most about the Astros last night was definitely how they handled Yu Darvish, who was 4-1 coming in last night against the Astros. Okay, and let me tell you something. If anyone who knows who Yu Darvish is, he has some nasty stuff, bro.
Some nasty stuff. And
especially
they play some
when
good
he's
defense
on. When
out
he,
there.
When he's on, you know, he's probably one of the most unhittable pitchers in the league when he's on, man. He's just has some nasty stuff. But we got on it, and that's what we had to do. And I was, those bats look real good, man. And I was impressed, man. To take Darvish out in four innings, that's great work.
So let's talk about Darvish a little bit, guys, because what actually happened the controversy that's surrounding Yu Darvish. What's going on with that? I know that Major League Baseball is supposed to kind of look into this, but what happened with that, Dave?
With with you should be informing me on this, Gene. This is, what do you mean the controversy? Are you talking about
Gene? It was one of the Astros players sort of made a
come on.
Yeah,
you're talking
about
that is huge. That is big.
And you know
big
what?
Time.
And I actually saw that this morning because yesterday I didn't even notice it, but
I didn't hear it till this morning either.
And you know what though, like, I mean, we live in this, you know, country that whenever it happens, especially on a big stage like this, like, mm-hmm. we really have to be careful on what we do. But also, we got to remember, I mean, Yuli also, coming from Cuba, I'm not saying this is, you know, his excuse or anything like that, but whenever you're coming from a different country, and we should really be holding the standard for this, though, because we shouldn't really be doing this, even, you know, regardless of who it is. But I mean, this is kind of the same thing that we kind of got to talk about whenever we get into Bob McNair as well, too, because it seems like we kind of are, you know, a little insensitive against a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But the fact that, you know, there's so many media outlets and there's so many ways for people to know, you know, everything that you do, especially when you're on, you know, when all the cameras are on you. You know, in McNair's, I guess, standpoint, where he probably didn't think that people were actually going to find out that he even said the thing you know, magnitude, but you know, we all have to be careful on the things we do and say because they can be highly offensive.
You have to and I think Yu Darvish is actually, you know, not letting this thing die down. I mean, he was really offended, and you know, the game moves fast, even in baseball. There's just certain things you don't see, and baseball players, they have ways of sending messages, you know, that that even if you're at the game, you wouldn't notice some of the things that are happening on the diamond. But he definitely didn't like the gesture that was made, and certainly going to see what Major League Baseball is going to do about it. But it doesn't have, you know, it's not going to really tarnish the series. I think, you know, looking at tonight, you know, what's likely to happen is that I would expect the Dodgers to start swinging and swinging early. The Astros pretty much don't have to do anything different than what they're doing. They're going to get those runs across. They're going to play good out there in the outfield. But the Dodgers, if the Dodgers are going to not fall down 3-1, they're going to have to swing those bats early.
So, guys, who do you think tonight is going to bring the big cheese? Who do you think is going to bring it tonight? Kershaw still going to – is he going to still be in the
game? No, tonight will be Alex Wood versus Charlie Morton. And to me, Charlie Morton – I like him, but you can't really expect him to be throwing too many innings just because, man, he throws that fastball, and, I mean, he's throwing high heat the whole time. You really want him to stay out there
98 miles per hour?
As long as he can, of course, but you got to expect to, you know, that not early in the game, but at least sixth or seventh inning that we're going to be start looking in the bullpen. And to me, I think the key to the Astros kind of us winning is the fact that we don't have to use six or seven pitches, mm-hmm. you know, going into a game. And that's what really kind of been – kind of hitting Dodgers in the butt right now.
Yeah, you're right. And that's why I say if the Dodgers are going to have to get into that bullpen of Houston, because if they, you know, if they don't swing the bats early, they can't afford a close game, because close games always belong to the Astros. They have to jump all over Houston early, and hopefully they can their bullpen can save it at the end.
I mean, yeah, Mario, what do you got to say?
I like the way the bats are hitting. I just, you know, last night I just got so worried because, you know, it was like everybody was getting on base after the fifth inning. It was five innings of beautiful baseball. We get to six, we get to seven. Everyone starts getting a base. Walks are going everywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah, close games do belong to the Astros, but you don't want to tempt fate either. You know, I get early, get on the board early, and just, you know, just keep it tight, man. Like, we played so well for five innings yesterday of keep-away baseball, you know what I mean, that it just got away with us, but we're lucky we got out of it. But you can't always depend on luck. This is the World Series. You never know. You never know. So, Astros got to stay hot. Astros got to stay hot, and you got to jump on top of these Dodgers, because if you let these Dodgers linger, they have enough power to take three runs, four runs on the board.
I mean, yeah, whenever I was watching game two, I was like, wow, that's impressive. 11 innings. Has there been something like that?
Oh, there's been longer. There's been longer.
Oh, my goodness.
The amount of 16, hits, though, the amount
17
of home runs.
Innings. Yeah,
I think it was like last season, wasn't it, Gene? It was set. Like, the record was set again last year for like 20 innings or something like that.
But I mean, this game was on a whole nother level, though. Like the fact that, you know,
when
the five
World
home
Series,
runs.
Right. And those bats got. And it's funny, you would think that the longer the game goes, mm-hmm. and with the rotations that's happening, their guys are going to get tired. Right, everybody's looking cool for off. That manufactured yeah. run.
Mm-hmm.
But to have that explosion of home runs and that late in the game, man, I mean, it's almost like, you know, everybody was drinking Starbucks back there or something, and they just got
double
wired
shot lattes.
And came
right.
out there.
I mean,
and start pounding it out.
And you know what's really good too, that I'm actually happy that I actually got that started hitting this. It was Reddick.
Oh
we
man,
needed
yeah.
Reddick to get into that swing. We needed Reddick to get on the board, and I think coming home is exactly what he needed. You know, his first at bat hits a double. You know what I mean? And from there on, you know, he's off to the races. You know, once spring looking great, you know, everyone looking great, but Reddick is definitely the key at home, because when he gets started, well, that lineup, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, is just scary.
Yeah. And
hey, this Dave, sorry to cut you off, man, but here's the thing. If you're a Dodger fan, and Mean Gene is, you know, the Astros are not trying to go back to California.
No, that's how they're playing.
The Dodgers have to win. This is a must-win game tonight for the Dodgers.
Agreed.
If they are to see Southern California again, because I just think with this new series, with the format, and how about the format? I had a lot of people asking me about, well, hey, the American League won the All-Star game, so what's yeah. going on here? So baseball did a switcheroo on us. And if you're not, you know, paying attention, baseball changes don't make news like NFL changes.
No, they do not.
And NBA changes. So it's back to the old, you know, whoever had the best record, it's 2-3-2.
That's
you know,
right.
and we're learning a lot about this new format, 2-3-2. We saw what the Yankees did
mm-hmm.
with you know, that home team. Those three games are critical. And the fact that Houston stole one in L.A., I tell you what, man, they haven't lost at Minute Maid Park in the postseason.
No, not at all. They're still undefeated.
And, you know, I want to thank the Astros. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gene.
No, I'm just saying. No. So that's why tonight, if the Dodgers, this is a must win. So, you know, they will need everything in the kitchen sink, you name it. They need it all to get that win tonight.
I just want to thank the Astros so much for winning last night. If it wasn't for you guys winning last night and the other game, I wouldn't be able to buy this delicious food that everybody's been offering. I mean, Papa John's, all these, like, what is that?
Maben got the stole the base, so now we all get free Dorito tacos.
Yeah, get free tacos. I mean,
the taco hero.
I want to thank you guys so much for feeding me for cheap.
I feel like that a taco place here in Houston should have already done that, and the fact that Taco Bell is, like, doing the whole taco spectating, like, I feel like that's definitely wrong and it shouldn't be happening.
Well, in 2032, Taco Bell's going to win the restaurant wars, but that's
a different question.
What's Taco Bell anyway? What's this new taco with made out of an egg? I mean, come on, really?
The new naked breakfast taco.
Yeah, protein
what is going on
protein
with Taco Bell? Taco Bell is going crazy.
Taco Bell shouldn't do breakfast.
I don't like
breakfast
the way, like, how does it stay in that form, and I still see the yolk in it, so when you bite it, does the yolk come out?
Hey, I need protein. My protein. But when we come back after the break, we're going to show some love to the Texans. I mean, the Texans, that's also a Houston team up and coming. And tomorrow they're facing the Seahawks. So we're going to talk about that more when we come back after these messages. CBS Sports Radio, 650 Houston, Texas. Chris, Mean Gene, Diamond Dave.
The monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
What's going on, everybody? Ladies and gentlemen, Sports Kings Radio, 6:50 a.m. You're here with the Sports Kings here. My name is Chris, here with Diamond Dave, Super Mario, and we have Mean Gene.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene.
Joining us on the phone. Yo.
Chris, it sounded like you guys were singing. I actually thought you guys were singing that song.
We were singing.
Me and Chris were singing.
Yeah, they sounded beautiful.
I mean,
oh, my goodness. And it was scary.
it was beautifully scary.
It was a graveyard smash. But I owe all my teachings to Celine Dion. But, Mario, we have some more scores here for us, for the listeners. Tell us what's been going on.
Man, breaking news right now. TCU just scored. Yeah. 7-14. They're still down to Iowa, but it's okay. We're still coming back. Let's go, Totes.
Iowa, you all mean right. That place where Captain Kirk is from?
No one cares about him. Anyway, Penn State still leading Ohio State at the half. Georgia is still ahead of Florida in the third quarter.
Georgia?
NC State is still down 14-21 to Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
UCLA is still down 9-20 to those Washington Huskies. And it's still tied at 12:57 in the third, 10-10 Michigan State, Northwestern. And unfortunately, these Cougars at the half aren't doing anything. They still have a big old glazed donut and seven.
I like glazed donuts. I like Dunkin' Donuts. I like Dunkin' Donuts. I don't like Dunkin' Donuts down south.
I don't like them down here.
I don't like their coffee. Their coffee is terrible.
The coffee here is horrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad because I kind of like just having regular coffee.
Did you go to Dunkin' Donuts in New York?
You know what? I went to Chicago, and Chicago wasn't
bad. Wasn't it better?
Yeah, definitely.
Isn't it better?
It was honestly an experience whenever I was up there.
It's completely different.
And now that they have that one down here. Yeah.
We like Shipley's.
Oh, come on.
Shipley's has horrible.
Well, you know what?
We like Shipley's because if they make them hot and fresh, if they're hot and fresh, guys, they're the best thing ever.
That's delicious. That's true. Whenever Shipley's donuts cools down and I take a bite into the glazed donut, my whole shirt is messed up. I'm late for my wedding. You're my glazed. Wife is yelling at me, and I like Dunkin' Donuts. They're delicious. Dunkin' Donuts. If you want to sponsor us, give me a call.
What about Krispy Kreme?
That's a heart attack waiting to happen. But
moving right along.
But no, yeah. So talking about Dave and Gene, you guys mentioned the Texans owner earlier. So let's talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, and the thing that, you know, of course, everyone's talking about, right. the ESPN
article. The 500-pound gorilla in the room.
That came out, that, you know, they're sitting in on the owner's meeting and everything. So, and the thing about this, if no one hasn't heard, if you've been living underneath a rock, you know, of course, the owner of the Texans, Bob McNair, said, you know, a phrase that he really shouldn't said. Mm-mm. But I guess also the phrase was also, you know, misspoken, right? Like, he didn't say it right. He said the inmates can't run the prison when it should be
the inmates can't run the asylum,
of course. So
not any better.
His bad, of course. Mm. But at the same time, whenever we think about something like, you know, that is being said, whenever we're supposed to be talking about the whole point of, you know, Kaepernick, you know, doing his protests and what we can do to kind of come together and make sure, you know, we can make a positive message. Exactly. And rather than that, we get a comment of this proportion, and regardless on what side of the spectrum you're on, you kind of have to kind of feel in a certain way that he definitely used the poor word of choose, right?
Oh, like,
he chose the most terrible thing he
could
say.
Of all the expressions in the world you can use, especially in this politically charged time, especially with what's going around, you know, the spotlight being on anything that has to do with anything, why? Of all the expressions in the world you can use, why that one?
Well, guys, let me tell you, I know I've had time to actually simmer down a little bit because, you know, I don't want this to come out the wrong way, guys. I mean, I'm just going to say, you know, I've always sort of really respected Bob McNair and for what he's done with the Texans, getting that franchise up and running. And then, you know, to just look at what's happened to the city of Houston, you know, with Hurricane Harvey and, I mean, this has been one of those towns that have come together and rallied around just everything, even you know, what's been happening in the NFL. But this that comment right there, and it's probably something that I mean, you just don't let nothing slip of the tongue like that. I mean, you always got to know your audience.
Nope.
Those things that are said in those rooms, no one could ever think that those things are going to be confidential. But I tell you what, and then in this political climate here, you know, with the president that we have and all of the controversial things that's going on, that was about the dumbest thing an owner could say. And now when you look at your players who are, you know, that make up your team, most of them are African Americans, and to have your own team thinking about walking out of practice, I have to be concerned about what they might do at this game. I mean, I would think that a lot of those players may not have their heart in it. They might let Seattle just run all over them tomorrow to make a statement. And it would be wrong to do that because they are getting paid to play. But it's just, I mean, this is a sensitive issue. And then in the middle of this, you got your outstanding quarterback. This is a great year for Deshaun Watson, and for you to not know your audience, and this is crazy, and I'm really pissed at this owner, and I think he really needs to do a little bit more, like some diversity training perhaps might help, because this was crazy, and I don't blame any of those players for feeling the way they feel right now, because it's just wrong.
So of course, Gene, like if everyone has, you know, of course, gone to ESPN the magazine and seen the article online by Seth Wickersham, to me, that was just one of the key things that just kind of stuck out, that maybe that he didn't think that was probably going to be said. But to me, if you read the whole article, there was a lot of questionable things that a lot of the owners said. Like, not just, honestly, he wasn't the only one, because you can kind of tell that the consensus was kind of thinking that they're honestly wasting their time going through this. You know, I felt like, you know, not a lot of the owners really took this matter, like, too seriously. So that's why some comments may have been said in this kind of manner, because of the fact that maybe they weren't really into it.
You bring up a good point, and you're right about that. And that's why they have a players association, and they have representation. Because this is what it's all been about. The bigger picture is the unfair treatment, you know, of African Americans in society. And I think the players were just trying to say, hey, you know, we want to say something about it so it can bring awareness. Just like any other thing that we bring awareness to, whether it's child abuse, this, that, or the other, things happen in our country. And people have a passion about it, and they want to speak out about it. That's what Colin Kaepernick was doing. Now, you may not agree with the way in which he chose to do it, but everybody has a right to protest and do whatever they want. But these owners now, or at least Bob McNair, has just made this situation worse. Mm. And the NFL now, to even go anywhere near demanding players stand, that's not going to happen. And I tell you what, I can see a strike happening maybe. If things don't get better, these players will find a way, the unions will find a way to make a bigger statement. And they really have to get it together. But Bob McNair, shame on you. And you have to find a way to apologize, not only to your team in Houston, but the entire NFL.
I mean, this is me coming from an outside source. I'm not really I watch sports, but you guys are like more into sports. Do you guys think we're kind of blowing this out of proportion, or is it really that severe?
There's honestly been a lot of people that kind of come from that way, because there's a couple of people, because I mean,
it was just a phrase.
Exactly. Like, you kind of think that. But to me, I think also what Gene was saying about ultimately the ultimate bigger picture in the room, because this is like pretty much just a scab on the wound that we've been trying to, you know, just kind of put over for such a long time. Because honestly, whenever you bring up race or social injustice from someone who maybe has never came to that, it's harder for them to see that spectrum or maybe see that side. But I totally get what you're saying, though, Chris, because ultimately he was trying to use a phrase that had a whole totally other meaning. Mm-hmm. But the fact that, yes, it did come out wrong, and he didn't say it in a way that maybe at the time didn't come out the right way it was supposed to, the fact of the matter is that it still pretty much came out the way that it did, and especially when all this situation that's going on behind it, though. And that's the thing. Like, you have to know why you're there.
Hey, guys, let me share something that happened to me at a grocery store here in Dallas the other day. And this is crazy, because so I'm at a deli at a very popular grocery store here in Dallas, and the guy behind the counter, you know, he's getting my food, and then there's another girl behind the counter, and she's helping him, and hey, we're all African Americans, right? So this guy comes up, and he's with a group of people, and he's like, hey, you know what, I'm gonna go over here and grab some of this food. And then he just says, hey, you know what? My friends don't want to eat this food. I know this is poor people's food, but I like poor people's food. And I'm like, really? You know, so this is a white guy that said this.
Whoa.
And he was trying to joke a kid or something. But, I mean, it's like, okay, so you see three African Americans here. And this grocery store is not a poor grocery store. It's not even in a bad neighborhood. As a matter of fact, it's one of the most expensive ones in town.
I think if I was there, I'd be like, what's just poor people food?
It's just the stupid Robin things Noah that some people say. So you can't say that. Now, I don't, and we just looked at him like he was absolutely crazy. Like, okay, I can't believe this guy just said this. And this is some of the dumb things that come out of people's mouths, and people don't think, when, you know, you can easily offend people. And I don't know what it is that make people feel so comfortable that they can just say whatever the hell they want, and then quickly apologize for it, because the damage has been done.
But we can't put everyone in the same spectrum. Like, ultimately, like...
That guy was an idiot. What's poor people food?
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, I feel that, you know, all us as human beings shouldn't even be able to... Because just like the fact that we're talking about Yuli, you know...
Like ramen, is that poor people food?
You're still
I love
talking
ramen.
About that.
I mean, no, because I'm curious. No, what is poor people food?
But what I'm, well,
like chili? I love chili.
Ultimately...
It was
like,
catfish, by the way.
It was catfish.
Oh, man, catfish is delicious.
That's a delicatessen. That's a delicatessen.
Bottom feeder, I guess, maybe. Well, either way, the fact
no, that's shrimps.
We're still living
I
in
still
a society
shrimps.
Where...
Shrimps is still delicious, though.
It's high in cholesterol, though.
That the fact that we still live in a society where, you know, it's okay to just... Have a little shoot, like you know what I'm saying. Just
let me tell you something.
While you're
everybody wants to be a heel.
No. You know this. I hate to say it, but this is what it is. And you know what that is, Gene? You know what that is? Two words: white privilege. That's it. That's all that is.
But, you know, okay. At the same time, like I don't think it's yeah. You can you know see from that point, but the fact is, like the thing I was saying about Yuli. We're all insensitive about a lot of things when it comes
down
to it.
About a lot of things.
Yeah, man.
But the fact is that we all had to start, you know, getting all on the same page because, honestly, we kind of get in the same boat what they're doing whenever they're doing something to us. So, like, in order to, like, get it better, like, you know, you're not really going to really fix anything by calling people out.
It's awareness. So the big question is, how is this going to affect tomorrow's game? Because as we know, DeAndre Hopkins is one of those players that really, you know, was affected by it, as was a lot of players in the locker room. So what can we expect from the Seattle Seahawks and the Houston Texans? Because this is a competitive – that division, the AFC South, is still competitive at anyone's grab. I mean, Houston needs to win because Jacksonville is trying to run away with this division. But what can we expect from the Texans tomorrow?
Same thing. The Astros are doing yo-yo team. I mean, what Bob McNair said today?
Well, it was actually last week. Broke out yesterday.
I don't have my nose in front of me. it's not going to affect this. The Seahawks are still going to they're going to play. The Texans are going to play. Gene, I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to go to a quick break. But I mean, we're debating some big stuff here on the Sports King Saturday Show on CBS Sports Radio. 6:50 a.m. Chris, Diamond Dave, Super Mario, and Mean Gene on the telephones. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m. My name is Chris. Hello? My mic just turned off.
Hi,
what
hi, Chris.
hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
My mic just turned off. It is Halloween season here at CBS Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Chris here with Diamond Dave, Super Mario, and Mean Gene joining us on the phone. And we have Sam on the sticks, whatever Mario said last time.
On the ones and twos.
The ones and twos.
On the ones and twos. And but no, yeah, it is Halloween season. You guys geared up for Halloween? What are you guys going to be for Halloween?
I'm kind of like, yeah, I went to this store and I bought something and it kind of didn't really turn out. I was trying to be a Grim Reaper, but I got like this really big cloak and it kind of looks medieval.
I'm going to be the world's first fat Power Rangers. How about that?
I tight. I mean, are you going to have like,
I want to say you should have gone for Majin Buu, but
what's that?
Oh, Chris.
So what are you going to be, Mario? Well, what are you going to be?
How are you not going to know?
I'm going to be what
Buu
I am
is,
every
Chris?
Year. I'm going to be what I am every year and help these kids go trick-or-treat and undercover cop because I don't got to get dressed. All I have to do is wear plain clothes.
Gene, what are you going to be for this year's Halloween, man? What are you dressing up as?
Well, it depends on tonight. I might dress up as a pissed-off Dodgers fan.
That's a good one right there.
If they don't get this game tonight, I'm going to be an angry Dodgers fan or happy one. It just depends.
I like that.
But yeah, coming back, it feels delicious outside once again, Halloween season. But we'll get back into the Texans. So, Dave, what do you got there, Martin?
Well, of course, you know, like when we get past the whole owner thing, ultimately there's still a game to be played.
We're past it.
Yeah, and there's still a game to be played. And the fact that you know we have Deshaun Watson who's doing crazy things right now, but the fact that he goes against Seattle, which is a really tough defense, regardless if you're a rookie or not, one of the best scoring defenses in the league, and he's going to have some trouble tomorrow. But the
fact that we're getting Dwayne Brown back, and we can, you know, try to see how is that going to help us a little bit, because of course he hasn't played, you know, this is going to be his first game back, but still, you got to admit that whenever you're going to have to protect someone who's actually good, that has to feel good if you're an offensive lineman, because the fact that he's been, you know, guarding these guys who, protecting these guys who are just been, you know, trash pretty much, and the fact that he can actually protect someone who's actually going to do something now, like you gotta admit that that's going to give Dwayne his, you know, something, at least a little something extra to work.
So guys, and I'm gonna leave you guys because I got to go to an event. One of the reasons why I'm not there with you is because I'm actually attending the book signing of Rod Johnson's family. They wrote a book. His son, Cameron Johnson, wrote a book called Cameron's Dream. And the book is about helping families and kids cope with the loss of a loved one.
Oh, wow.
So he actually lost his father and his grandfather this year.
Oh, wow.
So, and this book is called Cameron's Dream, and it's on our Facebook page. So his wife and to her surprise, the kid's grandma, who I actually saw last weekend in Jackson, Mississippi, they are here today for that book signing. So I'm at the Kona Grill in Plano, Texas. I'm going to make my appearance in here in a couple of minutes. But
Plano.
But as far as I want to leave you with, as far as the Texans, just know this, guys, that the Seattle Seahawks, their defense is not too friendly to rookie quarterbacks, if you know what I mean. So Deshaun Watson is going to have his work cut out for him tomorrow.
Well, Gene, thank you so much for coming in. Hopefully next weekend you'll be in. I'm not sure if you'll be here next weekend.
I will be in studio next week.
Awesome.
And I'm bringing my belt because I know I have some whippings to do. I'm going to start with Chris, and I'm going to finish with Mario.
Oh, that's not even fair, man.
So that means he gets the worst of it.
All right, Mean Gene, thank you so much for calling in, Gene. We'll see you next weekend,
man. All right, you guys, I'll see you next week.
Peace. Have fun.
Peace.
So, guys, you know, we're going to get into some more games here, some more NFL. Colts versus Bengals tomorrow. Colts on a 2-game losing streak. Probably won't turn it around against CIN Cincinnati.
You're going strong, Chris. That was real strong, but yeah, sorry.
They were on a
CIN.
Hey, I like it. CIN Cincinnati.
That is good, though.
I think
he just
gave Cincinnati a new nickname.
For real, the CIN, man.
They were on a 2-game losing streak, winning streak, till the Steelers won last week.
Honestly, when you come against the Colts and the Bengals, I still don't see the Colts doing anything just yet. Like, I had Mallett get choke slammed a couple of times.
But that was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I thought I was watching WWE. It was great.
Honestly,
I was
waiting for a to come out. If you're watching it, I mean, Adamican Sue is a really big guy.
Bro,
and the fact
he
that,
literally choke slammed him, bro.
Can you say literally choke slammed? Like, it was more of a thrust.
It was more of a choke thrust.
Choke thrust.
Choke thrust.
Like a Honda chop. Like,
like a dark.
Unnecessary roughness, number 42.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happened. But yeah, I don't see the Bengals. I mean, I don't see the Colts turning this around just yet. And it sucks because, I mean, their quarterback, at least, you know, Brissett, he has something to show, though. I mean, we see him do good. But the fact that, and you got to admit, like, whenever.
I'm not convinced.
whenever their quarterback does come back, he's going to have to run into this. And I mean, why even. I want to say why you play for Andrew Luck.
But why, though?
But why? Yeah, honestly, why?
But why?
I don't know. Most likely you're going to get hurt again. Most likely.
Don't care about this game.
Then, of course, what's another game? Oh,
Carolina versus Tampa. The camp frustrations off field is getting a bit much. And him losing doesn't help. Tampa is on a 3-game losing streak. Bort Worrell. In one possession game.
Yeah, all of them are in one possession, so Tampa's always there. Even though, I mean, you have Winston who throws a lot of interception. He throws a lot of throws that maybe he shouldn't be making. He likes to force a lot. But the fact that he's always a touchdown or field goal away is something that always gets at me.
You know what it is for this team for me? It's like the last two seasons, like, I've been waiting. You know what I mean? And it's like, they're, you know, like you said, they're on the cusp. You know what I mean? But it's like, then they come out and lay an egg. And you're like, man, it's frustrating. Like, I want this, like, I don't know why, but I want this team to be good. You know what I mean? I want them to be good. And they're just not, I can't commit. I just can't commit.
No, me too, because honestly, in the beginning of the season, I think I went out and said that the Buccaneers were probably going to win a division.
I think you did pick the Bucs. I was being very bold that day.
But, you know, they have a really good defense as well, too. The line's pretty strong. You got Quan Alexander, a linebacker who is, you know, fantastic, you know, even though he's not really an older player.
But, it's scary.
But is he good? Is he glorious?
He's pretty glorious. I can go out and say that.
I don't know Bobby Roode glorious, but he's glorious.
And also Hargraves, he's another young guy that I like seeing at corner. Yeah. So, like, they got some key guys.
It's a hard-nosed defense, and I like that.
They're very young, you know? So
that's the scary part. You know what I mean? That's why I know I'm being too rash, you know, because they're young. You know, but it's like, man, if they can just get it together, if they can just stay consistent, you know, you have the
if
makings.
If they can just be a team.
Yeah, right? You know, they have the makings of, you know, being a pivotal contender all the time, a proverbial contender all the time.
Some other games we have is Dallas versus Washington. Dallas has won the last four times in Washington. Washington has a lot of questionables for Sunday on defense. So that might be the Achilles heel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially when they got all their safeties and corners that are questionable. So, of course, you kind of think that Dak might utilize that a little bit. But, I mean, they kind of been hitting their stride too, Dallas. So, and I feel definitely that has a lot to do with the off-field stuff. Because, of course, you know, they're hearing everything about their owner as well. And there's so much that's going on with this team that doesn't have to do with football, don't you think? Yeah, honestly, it's honestly though, because I mean, I guess you have to get tired of all the stuff that you hear, though.
Yeah, for me, it comes down, you know, for number two in the division, because everyone knows the cream of the crop is the Eagles.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean, in the NFC East. So you know, go fly, Eagles, fly. So this game, yeah, I guess within the division it means something, but it doesn't mean anything to me. Washington ain't gonna go nowhere. You know what I mean? Dallas, you don't know what you're going to get from Dallas every week, even though they look good last time. Zeke looked good in his last game. You know what I mean?
I just hate the fact that, you know, his whole situation is this own ordeal that we hear in and out the week, and we don't know what's going to happen with that, and he's either playing or not playing, and all this, you know, court this and court that. I'm just sure that they just have to be tired of it.
Also, we have Pittsburgh versus Detroit and Denver versus KC.
You know, these are going to be two very interesting games. But of course, the game that I'm more centered on is going to be Pittsburgh versus Detroit.
I mean, naturally.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, it's a primetime Sunday night game. And also, both of these offenses have a lot to give. I mean, when you look at Pittsburgh, of course, Big Ben and the way he utilizes all those, you know, wide receivers.
Coming off a good win.
I mean, Matthew Stafford has always been that guy that I like taking during my fantasy. But also, he's very famous for laying those eggs that y'all talk about, honestly.
He said it, I didn't.
Oh, okay. The yo-yo is yours, my bad.
I use leg-egging reference.
But yeah, so we're going to come back after these messages. That'll be it for the first hour here on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you guys for tuning in for this first hour. We'll be back after the next hour. We're not leaving right now. CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m. Chris, Diamond Dave, and Super Mario. We'll be back.
Scared, weren't you?
Don't be scared, girl.
I wasn't that scared.
You're scared.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, thank you, Michael, for checking me out right now. Michael Jackson wants to sing right now. But thank you guys for coming back. CBS Sports Radio, 6:50 a.m. Sports King Saturday Show. My name is Chris. I'm joined by Diamond Dave and Super Mario. Mean Gene had to go and do his presentation. Gene, we wish you all the luck. You're doing great work over there, Gene. Really, that's bottom of my heart. But yeah, Sports King Saturdays, we're starting off a little bit of college football. Dave, sorry about that. We're doing the scores. Mario, what scores have we got?
Scores right now, as it stands, third quarter, 8:26, Penn State still ahead of Ohio State. As it stands right now, third quarter, 4:30, Georgia still ahead of them Florida Gators, 35-0. TCU trying to fight back, still down in the third quarter, 5:45, down 7-14. NC State still trailing Notre Dame in the third quarter, 12:05 left there, 28-14.
It's a lot of stuff going on, and especially the thing that the reason why that I wanted to make sure that everyone heard the scores is because there was just too much going on, especially at this time.
Yeah.
Like whenever the skate, like I don't really look at the times until like maybe the week of to try to find out who was playing when and stuff like that. But when all the bulk of these, you know, playoff contender games are all happening at 2:30, like that's pretty wild to me. And honestly, that kind of makes me sad because that just means that I have less to watch tonight.
You know what makes me sad right now?
What makes
Michigan
you sad?
State is still tied with Northwestern.
That is
at the end of the third, and Houston still trailing South Florida.
You know what? That Coach Strong team over there in South Florida, and I knew they were going to have trouble. And this is the fact that U of H is kind of keeping it close, though. They're in striking distance. So we got to take a closer look at that. But ultimately, I think the bigger picture right here, of course, the playoff rankings come out on October 31st, on Halloween. So when we get our first ranking of that, there's going to be so much controversy and so much stuff going on. And the fact that we have so many unbeatens and one-loss teams and all the two-loss teams are kind of just looking out right now. But, of course, we look at this North Carolina State and Notre Dame game, and right there, big playoff mm-hmm. numbers right there because mm-hmm. of course North Carolina State, I'm very sure that as right now they're in front of Clemson right now and they'll play each other, so
yeah, because they're 6-1 right now,
so that's very big implications right there just for the ACC. And of course another team that I wanted to look at that I haven't mentioned quite too much this year is that unbeaten Miami team. And they are scary.
They're flying below the radar, man. They're really flying below the radar.
They very are. But with Mark Rich going over there, mm-hmm. going back home, and mm-hmm. the fact that he's getting it done over there, that defense looks scary. And now they're starting to recruit those
athletes. It's scary, right? It makes you think of the early 90s Hurricanes, you know what I mean? When they would just smash mouth football.
And they're getting back to that. And of course, their defensive coordinator is a Miami guy.
That's
so the fact that he was around during that time, that makes all the difference.
The Rock was on the Miami team, too.
He was. He definitely was.
You're right. Chris, you're so right.
He has to break that out. That's good knowledge.
Middle linebacker, if I'm not mistaken, correct? If I'm not mistaken, was
the linebacker. Yeah, you're right.
And also,
another
game that we're looking at, and of course, the only Texas team that's probably being looked at as a playoff contender is TCU. But as of right now, losing to Iowa State. And this Iowa State team is very sneaky. Joel Lanning is really good.
They've pulled up some major upsets this season so far. You know what I mean?
Definitely. And then you look at Kyle Kemp, who was a quarterback who transitioned into middle linebacker. The fact that you have guys on this team that just want to play, right?
Gotta
like, they don't care what
it is. They're like the ultimate blue-collar team. You know what I mean? It's like they come in, everyone does their job, and if someone can't do it, don't worry, coach. I'll pick up and I'll take the slack for it.
Definitely, and you got to kind of look at this TCU team. I mean, Kenny Hill, of course, he's been having so much on his plate ever since he transferred out of A&M. Mm-hmm. He kind of, had all that weight on his shoulders at a young age, coming right after Manziel. But as of right now, man, he has the keys to the car. And he has the weapons, too. I mean, you have Darius Anderson, who's a pretty decent running back. But also, you got John Darce, who's a LSU transfer and came over here to start balling. So, we'll see little stuff go on. But, of course, I think the main thing about TCU is that TCU defense, and that's something that has changed. Of course, you think of a Patterson coach team, you're going to think offense. But the fact that the defense is really showing up, to me, that's showing me all I need to see.
And it's crazy because you're talking about defense in college, and how often do you hear about defense in colleges?
Exactly. And the thing that really started irritating me is that you kind of only hear it whenever you think of maybe, I say, Big Ten schools or SEC schools, just because they still run that 4-3 set.
Or sometimes you even hear it like, teams that have great defense. So, they have good defense, but they're okay. You know what I mean? It's never like in a positive light.
No, yeah, you're right, because they ultimately look at those teams that does like, 400 or 500 yards on offense. They rather look at that rather than seeing all the good things on defense. But when, like we said, whenever you think of an SEC defense, you think about them running that 4-3 and coming with loading 8 people in the box, honestly getting ready for the NFL type game.
Exactly. Why? Shut down defense. Because it's all great, you can score points, but if you can't stop the other team.
And of course, another team, especially when we're talking about SEC, is Georgia.
Georgia.
I mean, you got Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel over there on running back.
You have
a two-headed monster, and you have your freshman quarterback, Jake Fromm, but they're just handling Florida, and I'm kind of mad.
I didn't think they were going to walk over Florida like that.
I thought at least they were going to keep it close a little bit, because Florida kind of fell off a little bit. They had their own quarterback controversy with Felipe Franks.
No, it was more than a little bit.
Yeah,
because this program's never,
At least, you know, and you'll see him in the 20s or, you know, late 10s, like, you know, being rained. But the fact that they're kind of having this off year, because I definitely think that Mike Wayne didn't expect this to happen.
No.
At least this fast.
No, Florida was expected to be, you know, one of the, you know, was expected to be a contender this year. And this year they're just not doing anything.
But I think all eyes, of course, is on this Penn State-Ohio State game.
Who is it?
And the fact that, you know, of course, when you think Penn State, you talk about Saquon Barkley.
Barkley is the first person coming to your mind,
and
sir?
Of course, and from off the rip, man, he scores on the first possession, I believe it was.
That's right,
whenever
off the rip.
He ran it back. And from the get-go, here's him making statements. Of course, the whenever they played Michigan last week, that was a big statement game for them just because it kind of got the monkey off their back.
Bro.
But it was at home.
No, they handled Michigan.
They did.
Like, man, like, I'm telling you, Harbaugh want to go back to the NFL. He was like, man, I could be getting beans like this in the NFL.
Yeah,
I shouldn't be
he
like
definitely didn't enjoy that. The Michigan faithful did not enjoy that.
At all.
But the other thing to me is that the fact that a lot of people were kind of picking Ohio State to win this game. And that was surprising me because that shows a lack of faith in Penn State.
I didn't.
Because Ohio State's been shaky this whole year.
Listen, I've been, you know, I started getting into Penn State this year because, you know, I love Mike and Mike. You guys know this is one of my favorite shows. And
yeah.
Mike Greenberg's one of my favorite guys to listen to. And, you know, he's all in on Penn State, you know, and he is all in saying that Saquon Barkley at this point in time is the best athlete in college. He is the best player. Right now.
I mean, like, you can just look it up on YouTube and see the freakish things that he does.
I started watching Penn State and I'm like, man, you know, you can have a good quarterback, you know what I mean, and not go anywhere. Having a great running back in college, though, is a complete different story. Because that running back can take over that game if he wanted to, and that's what he does.
And honestly, Trace McSorley doesn't have to do much. He has to make sure he completes his passes and just hand the ball off correctly.
It must be nice. It must be nice.
It really is.
I mean, you know, who wouldn't want to be the quarterback right now for Penn State? I mean, you get into trouble, all you got to do is hand off the ball. If you really think about it, I'm going to run these first three. I'm going to do these first three downs. We ain't got anything on the fourth. Don't worry. Saquon going to run it. We'll be all right.
The thing that kind of irritates me about Ohio State a little bit is, of course, Barrett, the fact that he's been there for so long. Mm-hmm. He definitely has the experience. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we kind of see this mediocre team that we're not used to seeing from Ohio State. Because you see them lay the egg. You see them kind of mess up. And, honestly, you don't really see Barkley do too much whenever he plays against a top team.
No, he does not.
Well, I mean, Barrett. I'm sorry. You don't really see Barrett do too much whenever he does play a top team. So, that kind of leaves me shaking a little bit, and I don't want to say they're on a demise or anything, but I mean, I kind of, you know, question them a little too much now, because I mean, I guess you would say they're still in the hunt for the Big Ten championship, but I mean, at this point, I mean, Penn State, and then of course you look at Wisconsin, who's on the other side of the spectrum, on the other side of the division, and they just have a cakewalk to go through. Like, all they have to do is just show up to their games, and they're going to be able to make it. And they might ultimately end up winning out until their conference game. And, well, of course, it's going to give us another reason to, you know, add to that drama when it comes to the playoffs. But, of course, all eyes and all roads lead to Alabama. Wouldn't you say so?
Unfortunately.
And this is something that, of course, the SEC has been trying to get over, try to get past. But, of course, Alabama and LSU taking a bye week this week because, of course, they play their epic game next week.
I know.
A very hot LSU team right now.
I'm going for Alabama.
So hot right now.
Alabama.
So hot right now.
Because Forrest Gump went to Alabama, so I'm going for.
I at least know your predictions because they're all pop culture or movie based, or somehow you have to.
Alabama
see them.
Wins.
Yeah, you might be right, honestly.
They don't got Forrest on them kick returns, so I don't know. Really
all they got to do is get Forrest and just everybody in the crowd, run! And he goes.
He goes.
I was running.
This is a very strong LSU team that really has high confidence right now. Ed Orgeron has been able to get that defense coming along with Dave Aranda.
And teams show up for rivalries, you know what I mean? There's certain games in college and NFL that you know is going to be a good game. You know, it doesn't matter if the team's bad. You just know that this game, they're going to ball out. And every LSU-Alabama game is a ball out.
Yeah, of course. And then you see at least a good, you know, 25 future NFL players on the field at one time. And that's the thing, too, to be looking at. But, of course, that LSU defense was kind of hurt whenever they lost against Troy. Mississippi State, then Troy.
Yeah.
But now,
Mississippi State ain't no cupcakes either.
They're not. But the fact was that their depleted line is what ultimately was their demise. Because that showed in Troy.
Yeah.
But the fact they got a couple guys back. And honestly, because what the thing with LSU is that they have so many good secondary guys that can, you know, cover and actually play pretty much like a hybrid linebacker almost, is because they're so fast and strong.
Yeah.
You kind of, you know, lose weight up top. And honestly, they had a lot of, you know, injuries and different things going on with the line. They had to do a whole bunch of mix-ups, and they run the 3-4. So, you know, they are using three guys up there, but they have to rely heavy on those linebackers and secondary guys. But this game against Bama is going to be something good. I think this is at least going to be competitive for the first half. Because, honestly, when you look at Alabama and how they stacked, when you have, like, a good – five, you know, three or four guys in every position that can just come off the bench and just, you know, kind of pick up where that last person left off. It's scary.
So, Mario, Alabama versus
LSU.
Alabama versus LSU. Would you say it's the AJ Styles versus Finn Balor of the teams, or what would you say?
Sami
Zayn versus Kevin Owens.
I'd say Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens more. With
that helps me understand a little
bit
more.
With LSU being more Sami Zayn. You know, and you know, Alabama being the big old Kevin Owens.
Then I'm always off for Alabama. I'm always down for Alabama.
I definitely say that. And because, you know, in college football, if you're not a big college fan of college football, there's one game you always circle on the schedule. And that game is always Alabama LSU. No matter where you are or who you are in college football, you automatically know Alabama LSU go to watch.
And it's the fact, too, because even though Alabama has been able to win these last past couple games,
it's always competitive. It's still a competitive game,
And just like I said, you're going to see a good amount of future NFL players on the field. Mm-hmm. So it's like almost watching a Southern All-Star game.
It's a win-win anyway you look at it.
And, of course, I'm a big LSU fan. Right. And
you have vested interest, of course.
Of course. Yeah. So ever since their last win, of course, at Bama, and, you know, the main thing that sticks out in my mind is the winning by a field goal.
Yeah.
The fact that it comes down to like 6-9 it's just gridiron, just bad, like downhill, just everyone, 8-9 people in the box. It doesn't matter. Just everyone go hit somebody.
Everybody get in there and do something.
So, of course, I mean, it's, if you have to say, I guess you would say Penn State probably, if you would say that there's that one team in the playoff contention that you kind of really looking at, right, Mario?
It's Penn State. Penn State's up there. You know, the other day I was really impressed with Syracuse. You know, I know they're nowhere on the radar.
Syracuse.
But that team, you know, that program's looking good. Give that program another couple years, we're going to be talking about Syracuse again. But yeah, that for me, my vested interest is definitely Penn State. I want to see how far they can go. Man, and I want to see what Saquon Barkley do when he just act a fool, bro.
And you know what? I think when he gets to that time, because I feel that he's still not challenged.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think he's faced a defense that's literally gave him any challenges.
Because honestly, I would like to say this right now. If anyone's out there watching Dragon Ball Super.
Come at me.
And if you know who Jaren is, like, this is some guy that cannot get touched. And that's what he looks like.
He is the Jaren of the college football world.
No one can touch him right now. He's just sitting in his corner meditating because no one is even worth it right now.
You guys
now.
Are nerds.
Sometimes. Most of the time. But whatever. To me, as of right now, my favorite, honestly, I think Penn State kind of has an easy road right now because after this game, if they ultimately, you know, win against Ohio State, they just have to play Michigan State and get that out the way.
If they, you know, Penn State has, if you look at what the schedule's, they probably have one of the hardest ones, you know. Not like, oh my god, it's so hard. But definitely for a team of the caliber, they still got, like you said, they still got games that they got to prove. And the thing I love about this team so much is they've came at every single team, every single game.
No trap,
you know, because there was some teams out there. Where it could have been a trap game. You could have been overlooking
the game
it.
Against Iowa was actually, you know, pretty difficult for them. But that's the thing to me. The thing that really irritates me, and of course I know everyone, you know, has anything to do with the playoffs, they kind of judge by your schedule and how strong it was. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I have to say against Penn State, and I've been saying this, is that they didn't play no one outside their conference. And I guess you really don't have to because they're still against, you know, good teams.
Not no more.
But if you don't really make yourself a wowable team to those committee members that are picking, I mean, you're kind of left out. And now if they're to lose any of these games, they're going to look at them a little different. Because to me, I think Clemson losing to Syracuse now is going to be really hard for them because they, of course, still have to play a North Carolina State team that's really shocking everybody. And ultimately, they might have to play Miami for that ACC title. So that's going to be fun, too. Like, ACC, Big Ten, and I'll say right now, the SEC just a little bit, just looking at them.
Yep.
But, man, I'll say the ACC and the Big Ten, they're holding a lot of power right now.
Oh, yeah. As, you know, it's amazing to see the ACC get back and be prominent in football again. I love it. You know what I mean? Because that's my conference. You know what I mean? That's
the East Coast.
That's those are the teams I grew up watching. And for many years, I've always, people used to say, oh, you know, there's no football in the North. There's no football in the North. You know, it's all basketball. It's all baseball. But, you know, Penn State and these ACC, man, there's no cakewalks in ACC no more. You don't see ACC team on the schedule and be like, okay, that's a win. No. You know, now you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, the reemergence of Miami.
Yeah.
And now Florida, and it's kind of the messed up part. You see Florida State kind of struggling now. You see they took their butt whooping yesterday.
And I'm so angry about that because they were looking good. They were getting better. I'm like, oh, my God. ACC is about to be where it's at. And now it's just like, man, Florida, why did you miss me, dog?
So, man, I know that we still can have – we can go hours and hours on college football. But, of course, I just want to mention real quick a little bit of the Rockets, how they're going and how the season's going so far.
It's still early in the season.
It is still very early in the season. But I like to get a notion of what I see, though. Because the only thing that really bugs me about this Rockets team, of course, is their – not willingness to go too deep into their bench, but only using like eight guys
and
stacking those minutes on them.
They're over here running a playoff. You know what I mean? Running a playoff rotation.
Yeah, they
Phil
are.
Jackson,
they
eight
are.
People on the bench. You know what I mean? And I'm like, what? You know, you can't. You're gonna run them into the ground by the time the playoffs get here.
And that's the only thing that worries me. And that's why I kind of still feel that, regardless, whenever Paul gets back, of course, that's an extra body, that maybe turns it into a more of a nine guy rotation. Wow. Yeah. We're good at math,
right?
But it's kind of.
I can use my hands.
Two plus two is four.
It makes me, you know, pretty much almost sure that they might add another guy to this roster, or they might be looking towards before the trade deadline.
I agree.
We can see an extra face.
I agree. But you know who's been impressing me this year, honestly, is the guy that plays on Milwaukee, man.
Of course, Giannis.
Oh, Giannis, man.
He looks just like a guy that you created on your video game.
Right? That's what I was thinking the other day.
Overall,
everything on 99. Everything's on 99.
Make him 7 foot and we're dribbling on 99. step back three, 99.
Do you think he could be the next franchise?
I say as of right now, he's that guy.
He's that franchise.
There's just so many names ahead of him as of right now. Yeah. It's because of superstardom, I guess. But
could he be another Stephen Curry or
honestly, I would say.
I don't see. I think if anything, he's going to be like the next
Kobe.
The guy from New Orleans.
Boogie?
Not Boogie.
Anthony Davis. Honestly, I don't even think he's on the same. I don't think he's on the same scale. Honestly,
I'm honestly thinking that
he is going to be of maybe, dare I say it, LeBron stature.
LeBron James.
Just because, I mean,
that high in the
he doesn't even have a position.
No.
He just goes out there.
He plays
and balls.
All five. He plays all five positions, and that's so odd. You know what I mean? That you have, you know, I can handle the rock.
Well, this is the age of positionless basketball. There's no longer a center, power forward, small forward.
No,
guard,
you know,
because
you know what it is. There's so many athletes now. You know what I mean? You know, it's the bigger, better, stronger, and it's like that now. These kids coming out of high school look like grown men.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Talking about how old you are? 15. Excuse me.
When you think about it, is this AAU generation kind of leaking into NBA a little bit? Because like when you think about it, they run motions and little sets and everything, but like
I remember playing you in New York, you know, we used to play pick and roll, you know, and set up, and you'd be like, you know, like, you know,
yeah,
you know,
we
like,
shooting, we going, we running,
what are we doing, we gonna pick and play, what
there's
we gonna
really
do?
No more like give it in the post and bang bang and like us kind of like, you know, get down to it like that. But I mean,
get down to hand down man.
I saw Luke Mbamute kind of say that he passed up, I believe, four three pointers or something like that, and he made the little comment of that we're going to have to look at that, or he knows that they're going to say something about skipping out in those threes, and this is still a system that a lot of people still have to get used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, of course, PJ Tucker, he's living in it right now.
PJ Tucker is a stat filler.
He
fills every stat there is on your books, bro. If you are the stat keeper that night, you're going to work.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, he gets down in the paint on
defense.
You're
going to learn tonight.
I hope you got a lot of ink.
He does so much. But, of course, during the duration of the season, we're going to see this team grow. I think I made some comments about Clint Capella that I kind of take back, you know, just because, I mean, he's been getting better. He doesn't look like that deer in the headlights, I kind of say. Sometimes he's able to get his 20 rebounds.
Yeah.
And sometimes he can.
Rebounds,
he did.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy.
But when the fact, when you're.
He owned the boards at 2016, dude.
I mean, those pick and rolls are coming. And he just has a finish.
Ain't nothing you can do about it either, bro. We got a 7-foot wingspan. The kid could jump out the gym, you know, and it's what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Well, winding down here in the Sports Kings, we got a few minutes to go here on the show. Not a few minutes, more than a few minutes. Mauro, you have some boxing news, or what do you got? Some UFC news, or what kind of?
You know, for all my boxing fans out there, you know the boxing schedule been kind of light. You know, apologies for that. But anyone who saw last week's fight was an amazing fight with Charlo's. Ronnie Shields guy defended his title with an amazing knockout. Looked great. You know, awesome fight between Abdelmadjid too. Just cruised over the top. Looks really well. And we have some, you know, news that, like I said last week, Terrence Crawford is moving up to the 147-pound division. He's relinquishing all his titles at 140. So there's a new player at 147 pounds, and it happened to be Terrence Crawford. But tonight's fight, for anyone that knows, is, you know, it used to be called the Glamour Division. What Americans used to love to watch is heavyweight titles. And tonight, England's own Anthony Joshua will be defending his title against Carlos Takam. And I don't know much about Takam, I have to say, which is, I can't believe it, because I usually know about much about a lot of people, but I haven't really got to hear much about him. But I heard he has really, really heavy hands, but I don't really think it matters because Anthony Joshua is a complete beast.
Beast, but he's not the beast incarnate.
No, he's not Brock Lesnar.
Also, props to the Dynamo in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's right. Moving up in the MLS Cup. Way to go, Dynamo.
Go, Dynamos. But yeah, any more news to get before we go?
What else? What is it? There's been a couple of things, because I feel like whenever you get to the end of the week, like, you kind of forget the things that happened in the beginning of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, whenever Al Harrington, you know, ex-NBA player, big three player, weed entrepreneur. Of course, you knew that. He did a sit down with David Stern, and David Stern made the comments he made, of course, about not, you know, probably thinking that marijuana didn't have to be against a banned substance.
Everybody was like, what?
Yeah. I think the big what was because he was so hard on, you know, of course, he was during, you know,
yeah,
commissioner during the 80s, yeah, whenever it was a tough time,
yeah,
for the NBA, you know, of course, because, of course, a big drug epidemic that was actually affecting teams.
Crack.
You know, yeah, definitely was. And the fact that he was kind of hard on that and kind of saw weed as a whole different thing in the 90s, but the fact that people's minds are changing about this. Like, the more I see
marijuana pills,
the more I see polls about how people are more lenient, and of course, you know, everyone kind of being more, you know, on the same page about it. To me, that's just really interesting. The fact that, I mean, of course, the NHL doesn't test for it, but the fact that, you know, that these guys can be on a certain path. Hockey does not test for it.
What?
Yeah, so it's not considered a performing enhancer.
Hello there, Canada. It's a national sport of Canada. Hello.
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 But the fact that, you know, we're starting to move away from, you know, we're trying to get away from the opioid epidemic.
Yes, because, you know, people getting, you know, a lot of, you know, people don't take
it. Especially in football. And that's one of the biggest things,
you know,
of course.
You know, I vape.
You know, it's big. It's rampant. You know what I mean? And it's crazy how those guys really, you know, there's other alternatives for pain, you know, and they're just not willing because it's like, oh, no, you know, you can't do that. But it's okay to pop, you know, 50 Vicodin.
Of course.
And be like, all right.
My roided up guy beat your roided up guy.
Well, I think David Stern made it, you know, a good point is that, of course, the pharmaceuticals can't make any money off of it.
That's right.
So until they find their way of trying to get into the business, there's not going to be a big agenda to push
my
for
joint
a lot
hurts,
of people.
I need marijuana.
I mean, rather that, would you need the 15 pills? Would you take the 15 pills?
I take the 15 marijuana pills, yeah.
The other kind of pills, the opioid pills, would you... painkillers? Is that, like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, not just...
I'm not that kind of a boy.
But what I'm saying is that, especially when you're a guy who's especially on the gridiron every weekend, you know, putting your body on the line.
That's right, and you get paid to play.
Well, guys, game four is tonight before we leave here. So Astros are taking the lead right now. What are your predictions for tonight?
I say Astros win. I'm going for the Astros, so I don't care how it happens.
Uncle Charlie's on the mound, man. The guy has ice through his veins. I love his curveball. You know, he has high heat. You know what I mean? I think he's going to have to get on top of these hitters.
The big cheese.
You know, I'm going to say Astros. I'm going to say Astros.
You just want free food.
That's good. That too. But I'm going to say Astros 7-5.
Oh, 7-5. So you think it's going to be a little close?
I think it'll be close game.
I think they run away with it.
So before we go, gentlemen's bet right now.
Gentlemen's bet.
This today.
Okay.
Or Dave, you added this stipulation. If I'm going for the Dodgers, because everyone's...
Oh, you and Gene on the Dodgers side, yeah.
Yeah, me and Gene, Dodgers.
That's fine.
To me, whoever wins, whoever gives me free food, that's all I care about. But yeah, so there's a stipulation, gentlemen's bet. If the Astros win tonight, I come in next week doing my The American Dream Dusty Rhodes, baby, impression for one segment. And if I win, the Dodgers win, Mario does his thick New York accent, but really thick from the Bronx.
From Brooklyn.
From Spanish Harlem. That's going to be very, very annoying. I wanted to bet for money, but you guys didn't want to bet for money. Because I'm so confident.
Because like the money part doesn't affect the listeners.
I wanted to bet tats. I mean, let's get it.
I'm not getting a tattoo. But you crazy, bro. You creative. You creative.
But where, though? Where? Because I think that's a big thing. Like, if it was a small place.
On your forehead. Come on.
No. You get to pick.
Like, if it was on the inner thigh?
Yeah, you know, maybe on your ankle. You know what I mean? On your ankle tattoo? You know what I mean? If you want to, you know.
Technically, that's a part of it, right?
It's a part of it. You know what I mean? If you want to get it on the back of your eyelids, man, that's all you.
I'll get one. I'm just saying. I'll get one on my lower back because I'm just a trendsetter. Because
you're just a trendsetter?
Yeah, for guys. I'll get a stamp.
That's fine.
So you guys got the Astros. I got the Dodgers. Gentlemen's bet, are we all in agreement?
Yeah, we're in agreement.
We're going to go.
It doesn't affect me, so I'm
all. Oh, it will affect you.
Oh, because I got to hear the New York accent. You're right.
You're gonna be like, Mario, just go to the corner. Take a walk.
Cut his mic, Sam. Cut his mic.
Take a walk. But thank you guys so much for joining us this weekend. It's been a great time. Happy Halloween to those guys going up to trick or treat. Guys, those kids going trick or treating.
I'm going trick or treating.
They're going trick or treating.
There's no age limit in trick-or-treating, dude.
There's no. That's true. There's I want no free candy.
Just if you wear the right mask.
That's probably. If you wear the right mask, one. Two, you got to get either take your cousin's kids or somebody's kids so you don't look like a creeper. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you got to do that.
Give me free candy now.
You know what I mean? You got to take into account that as well. Hey, come on. It's Halloween. Who doesn't love Halloween?
Thank you guys so much for joining us. My name is Chris here with Diamond Dave, Super Mario. Mario, take us out.
You guys know who you're listening to. Chris. Diamond Dave, Mean Gene, the sports machine who was with us earlier. Have a great day. Super Mario, Sports King Saturdays, 6:50 a.m. Check us out, man.